I'm chatting now, though, with our regular classic car expert. So if you want to find out what your car's worth, now's the time to text the make and model 0438 922 936. Text anything if you want to, but that's what we're talking about now. I am joined by Mark Habiddle, the Managing Director of Supercar Secrets. It is a specialist agency that deals with private collectors, and Mark is on the line. Hello.
Hi, Kylie. How are you doing?
Yeah, great. So I believe that we put Fords on the list tonight because they're very popular in Tasmania. Which ones?
Well, I think all Fords are popular and Holdens to a greater or lesser degree too. They're always both those marks are very popular in Tasmania as they are in all Australia. So in the classic car segment, so I just thought tonight would be good to mention that we've been dabbling with a few Fords during the week and into last week actually as well.
And what about the Capri? I believe the Capri has been a bit of a standout, but why? Why is this one on your list?
Well, look, for a long time we've been buying and involving ourselves with Capri 3 litres, which are the one was with the V6 3 litre engine. They're the most sought after, so it was just kind of interesting when I happened to see one on car sales that wasn't a 3 litre, just a 1600 automatic, which is sort of almost a base package, not quite. There was a 1300, but it's getting on that way. For I think it was $60,000, I think. So yeah, it just shows you how Capris have shot up, and Capris are like, you know, gold bars in the UK. They fetch regularly £60,000 to £70,000 for the 3 litre versions, you know.
So wow, that's like
$140,000. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. And now, what about the Cortina? Because that's sort of an old classic that you sort of don't even really think about as being a car that you'd be collecting. But I'm clearly wrong on that one with the prices that are floating around.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the one that we sort of had a look at there again had a quick look on car sales just to see what the values were on there relative to what we're seeing in the collector market. And again, $60,000 for a Mark 1 Cortina, not even a Lotus 1, because the valuable Cortinas, people get really excited, is over the Lotus twin cam ones. And they did them in the Mark 1 and the Mark 2, and both of those regularly would achieve 70 or 75,000 British pounds in Britain. So, you know, you're talking 150,000 Australian for those cars. So it was just interesting to see that Mark 1 on there for about $60,000, I think it was. Again, you know, because that's where they've got to. I mean, again, they weren't worth that much a couple of years ago, you know, probably less than half of that. But look where they've gone to.
Yeah, and what about now this one? I find these sort of prices not hard to believe, because clearly they're prices, but quite amazing, I should say. The $1.1 million Ford Falcon. What year is that one?
It's a 1971. They're a very well-known type of car in the collector community and amongst our investors. Our investors over the last 2 years have bought two of them, actually, and they've both been around that sort of money. I think one of our investors paid, or through us, paid $1,050,000 for one, and the other one was 1.2, I think. I mean, that's a pretty normal price for a GTHO Phase 3. They are renowned as the Ford in collector networks, and some people overseas know about them too. Not many, but some do. But they are, they're a very valuable car. They've always been around the $1 million mark in recent years. Having said that, though, prior to that, they did sink right back. So 15 years ago, they went up to nearly $1 million, then back to 600,000, then back up to $1 million in recent times, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years.
And is that like a muscle car? What sort of car is that one? What does it look like?
Yeah, look, to be honest, to the untrained eye...
That's me.
Yeah, okay, so if you can imagine an ordinary 1971 Ford Falcon, four doors, bonnet and boot. The difference with these is they had a big bonnet scoop, and they actually had what was called the shaker, which meant that the air cleaner assembly on the engine actually poked out through the bonnet, and you could see it rocking backwards and forwards when the motor, as the motor rocked backwards and forwards, or side to side, I should say. So they had a shaker bonnet. They had bigger wheels. And they had a stripe down the side too. So that would be the visible differences with a GDHO. But essentially, they were Australia's muscle car. That and the HQ Monaros and so on from Holden at the same time, you know.
Now, I want to throw it out there to the listeners. I've heard, I interviewed someone once before, that there's a GT, I'm pretty sure it's a GT Ford Falcon, I don't know what year or anything, a really valuable one worth over $1 million, locked up somewhere. It was bought brand new, concreted up into some garage so it could never be stolen or burnt, and it's somewhere in the south of the state in Tasmania. And I've had people text in the program saying, yeah, they've heard about this mysterious car as well. If anyone knows any secrets about amazing things that, you know, that are safe to divulge, let us know. Text us. We want to be in the gossip too. 0438 922 936. We've had a texter into the program, says, hello again. Tell your car dude that I've got a 59 Morris Minor 1081 van. That's the way it's written. He says it's basically a Mori 1000, but I've never been able to find anything about them. This one was apparently a South Australian RAC vehicle. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I know plenty about them. They've become a really valuable little commodity, those vans. Basically, they're a Morris Minor. If you remember what a Morris Minor looks like with all the curves that they had, the very roundy bonnet. But they're a Morris Minor, but they're a van. So they've got a Morris Minor front on them, and they've got a van back on them, and they've got two little lights about an inch and a half in diameter, which are the indicators and the brake lights on either side at the bottom. They're great looking little vans, and the RACV did run quite a few of them as service vans. In the UK, one of those just sold that was a the equivalent of Telstra in the UK, so British Telecom. One of those just sold for £28,000 over there, so that's like $60,000.
So would you say that this one, if it's in good condition, would be worth around that figure?
If it was absolutely mint, with low mileage and books and history, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, because they're very rare. Up here in Sydney, there's a couple of the utes around, which were, you know, the ute version of a Morris Minor, but I haven't actually ever even seen a van in Sydney. So there you go. That's how rare they are.
Yeah, there you go. Texter, whoever that was, you've got your answer. If anyone else has a question, you better get cracking because we've only got about another 10 minutes, maybe even slightly less. 0438 922 936. Now, what about Mitsubishis? Because we're seeing some different things. A 22-year-old Lancer, you've been talking about that, has come up in car sales, and it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, well, the reason why I mentioned that is we started buying Lancer Evolutions, all the Lancer Evolutions, and there's 10 evolutions of Lancer. So you can buy Evo 1, 2, 3, 4, right up to 10. We started buying a lot of Evos from different places around the world about 2 years ago. And seriously, an Evo 6.5 Macadam, which is what that car is, that black one, we were picking them up for the Australian equivalent of about 28, I think. $28,000 to $30,000 was what we were paying for them 2 years ago. And as you can, as anyone that looks on car sales will see, that's now the most valuable or highest priced or most expensive Mitsubishi in Australia right now at nearly $200,000. And interestingly enough, there was one of our investors had one. There was two that were on for higher than that, for 210, I think. One was on four and one for 205. Both of those are sold in the last week. So there you go. So they're selling like hotcakes, even at $200,000.
Yeah. And are you likely to be down in Tassie in the near future? I mean, have we got any good car shows coming up? Because it's such a land of car shows and car clubs. You often see, you know, different, you know, car collector groups zooming around the beautiful countryside here.
Well, I have a really good friend that's in Strawn. That's Mark Butcher, who runs Performance Driving Australia, and I'll be coming down to see him probably in the next month or so. So I'll pop in and see you, Kylie.
Yeah, and are you doing any touring around Tassie? Where else will you go?
I would imagine I would be. I mean, I've got to go to Hobart and then obviously to Strawn. Where I go in between, not sure yet. But I might go and chase up this GDHO that's concreted in a building somewhere.
Yeah, you might never find out. Have you noticed nobody's texted in to give any secret locations?
That's right. Yes, no one's saying anything. But if certainly if it's a Ford and it was worth that sort of money, it would have to be the GDHO Phase 3. That's the only one. So it'll be one of those cars, Kylie, for sure.
Got another texter here says, Kylie, I've got a 1985 two-door, eight-valve aeroplane engine, back to front, 5SP Dom. Now, doesn't actually mean anything to me. It's like another language. I'm not even quite sure why we're talking about an aeroplane engine during a car segment, but does it make any sense to you?
Not a lot, no.
Would that texter... Oh, it's in a Saab. They've just clarified. It's in a Saab.
Oh, it's in a Saab. Right, okay. 85. That's a bit late for a Saab 96, but...
worth anything, do you think?
Saabs, unfortunately, well, the really early Saabs, the ones with the V4 Ford engines in them, the original Saab 96s, they've gone on to be worth quite a lot. So they've gone on to be worth in the region of $25,000. Precisely what that car is being 1985, I'm really not that sure, to be honest. I don't know. Saab's typically, like I said, yeah, the only one that really has got value is the 96, the early 96s from the 70s.
Now, you sound like a really happy kind of guy. Obviously, dealing and collecting cars, puts a smile on your face. We've been talking about people's mood today because, post-COVID and with everything going on in the world, I mean, some people are exhausted, some people are overwhelmed. You know, we've had other people feeling happy and surreal and even fantastic today. We've asked people to come up with one word to describe their mood, and it could be the mood for today or it could be the mood you've had for the week. So, Mark Haybittle, if you had to describe your general overall feeling in one word, where are you at right now?
Well, I heard the word cerebral earlier, and I would line up with that. I'd say the same because really, in this day and age, you have to use all the means at your disposal to remain happy because it's essential. And you've got to, I'm always happy and I make sure I stay happy. And if something comes along that makes me less than happy, I go and change that immediately and stop doing whatever's not making me happy and change it back the other way again. So as an overall word, cerebral, yeah, because I'm thinking all the time about remaining happy.
Do you think it's a choice? I mean, I know that some people have very difficult circumstances, so you can't necessarily include those people if they're struggling. But do you think it's all about finding joy in small things?
Absolutely. Well, I think it's more about finding joy in everything. So myself and Shirley in the UK, we always try and look at the fun side of everything. So I've always found that even in the darkest times and the most difficult things that occur in one's life, there's always an upside that you can look at. And if you focus on that, that becomes the dominant thought, if you like, and the negative thoughts go away. I've very much focused positive, even in dark times, always.
Very good advice, Mark Haybittle. Lovely to chat with you tonight.
Yeah, likewise, Carly. Always a real pleasure. Always a real pleasure.
Have a great night.
And you.
Mark Haybittle there from Supercar Secrets. Of course, this segment is every Thursday from 8 to 8.30. So if you missed out, and you know what I'm thinking? I haven't even asked Mark this, but I'm thinking we might do a whole segment on motorbikes. I better actually ask him if he's a motorbike expert before suggesting that. But I've had quite a few people call into the program lately and talk about riding amazing different motorbikes, Triumphs, BMWs. If you're a motorbike rider, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you've got a motorbike. Text me if you think a motorbike segment would be a good one. 0438 922 936.